Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I rise giving honor to God, who is the creator and maker of heaven and the earth, and everything that's within it. The word declares that there is none like him, nor none beside him. He's a mighty bad God, isn't he? All by himself. I claim him to be my everything. That means that he's my healer. And he is my deliverer. The very reason that I breathe and stand before you here today is all because of him. Come on and say amen. The scripture said it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. And the scripture says they are new every morning. And great is his faithfulness. Isn't he worthy? Oh, yes, he is. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. That's who he is today. The housekeeping. Pause, you know, a break. I give honor to our pastor, Pastor Larry Davidson Jr. and his family in their absence. And we pray blessings upon them today. Then I give honor to my husband, Deacon Robert G. Williams. Wave your hand, Robert. And I do that because Robert had to put up with me all week long. And sometimes I was like, look at them, like, could you please leave? I need to get in the presence of the Lord. But Robert never said a word. He gave me my space. Y'all give him a hand clap. Fellow ministers and of the gospel and deacons, deaconess, mothers, and all of you in your respective places, all I can say is God is truly good. And I thank you. I want you to know I don't take it for granted or take it lightly to stand before you today. I realize people need a word. People need to hear from heaven. And I have yielded myself so that God could speak through me today. I thank him for his presence in here today. I thank him for the choir that sang so beautifully. I thank him for the worship leader. I thank him for those that have encouraged me today. Now, without any further ado, there is a word from the Lord. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, a very familiar text in Scripture. It's so good, I really want to read it all, but I'm not. We're going to start reading at the 37th verse, and I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible. We're going to read 37 through 40, and we're going to take a break and go to 45 through 49. Is that all right? And it reads, David said, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head and put a coat of mail or armor on him. Then David fastened his sword over his armor and tried to walk, but he could not because he was not used to them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these because I'm not used to them." So David took them off. Then he took his shepherd's staff in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones out of the sling bed. And he put them in his shepherd bag, which he had. That is, in his shepherd's pouch. And with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut your head off. And I will give the corpses of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and to the wild beasts of the earth, so that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel, and that this entire assembly may know that the Lord does not save with a sword or with a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will hand you over to us." Verse 48, when the Philistine rose and came forward to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put in his hand into his bag and took out a stone and slung it, and it struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone penetrated his forehead, and he fell down to the ground. Let us pray. Father God, we come now in the mighty name of Jesus, asking you to have your way in the preached word. Allow your servant to decrease, that you increase in me. Allow your people, Lord, to be edified, strengthened, refreshed, renewed in you. Allow your word, Lord, to become living in the hearts and minds of your people. Let it be magnified. And then, Lord, you and only you be glorified in this house on today. And all your enemies be terrified. Do what you're gonna do, Lord. We thank you in advance for deliverance, Lord. We thank you for healing. We thank you for supplying whatever your people need in you. And it's in your mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And amen. As I was seeking the Lord on what to share with you, he began to reveal to me that there are many of us stuck in various situations because of fear. I'm going to define fear today as false evidence appearing real. It just looked that way. There are folks who are living in torment every single day, because they have made the things in their lives giants. That's right. That's right. Yes. But listen, I don't care who you are. We all have faced or will face things that seem impossible to defeat. That's right. We all have problems in here. And we all have temptations. In fact, I was talking to a coworker on last week, and he shared with me that he struggles with anxiety, even to the point that prior to being saved, he would drink alcohol as a way to self-medicate or to calm his nerves. So he became the life of the party once he had his liquor. God delivered him from alcoholism years ago. But those spirits, that's why they call them spirits. You go to the spirit store. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Those spirits still try to rule and reign in his life, saying things like, come on, just have one drink. Take the edge off. One drink ain't gonna hurt nobody. And he went on to say that now what he does when he's in a crowd of people and he feels nervous, he gets on his phone or he cracks jokes to ease the tension. Let me be clear. This man is saved and sanctified, a minister of the gospel. But can I tell you that the struggle is real? Doesn't matter what your position is. We all have some struggles. And we need to be real in here. Some of our giants are the voices that we listen to in our minds, rehearsing what somebody else said about us that is a lie from the pits of hell. Being tormented by what a teacher said about us. What a family member said about us. You know how we do. You ain't no good. You just like your low-down daddy. That stuff torments people.
That's right.
Make it plain. Or somebody else who just didn't know our value and our worth. Yet we play those words of the enemy over and over like a broken record and begin to believe the lie, leaving us feeling less than. But the word of God declares that we are the head and not the tail. Now listen, it says we're above only and not beneath.
That's right.
And that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He ain't make no junk.
That's right.
You're beautiful in God's eyesight.
Right.
So why would you believe anything different? Come on and say amen.
Amen.
Just like in the story of David and Goliath, Goliath was not always a giant. He was not always almost 10 feet tall. In the same way, giants often begin small. Oftentimes, it is what we allow, what we nurture, what we feed, or even encourage to come into our gates, ear gates, eye gates. And we allow those words, just like the giant, to taunt us. So what am I saying? In time, little things become big things. Big things become giant things. But the Lord wants me to let you know that he is a giant slayer. Some of us are stuck on jobs or in careers that are making us miserable because we're settling for less instead of his best. God wants us to move and step out on faith for what he has ordained for us. Raise your hand if you're a business owner in here. Any business owner? I only see a few hands. Now I want everybody to raise your hand. Everybody. There's something in you that God can activate and cause you to get wealth. I know what I'm talking about because the Bible said that God gives the power to get wealth. You ain't supposed to be broke, busted, and disgusted. That's a lie from the pits of hell. And then some of us, we're in unhealthy relationships, or we have family members in unhealthy relationships because of fear. Thinking that's the best that we can do. Any old man or woman will do. At least I got somebody. That's a lie. That's a lie. Let me be clear. That's a lie. You ain't got to settle for less than God's best. Because what you have is an Ishmael. When God wants to give you his promise, everybody needs an Isaac. That's the promise. Say, I want God's promise. Then some of us are halted. It's just like we're not progressing in ministry because of fear. Gifts lying in us that are dormant, that have not been activated by the stirring of a gift. You wondering what folk gonna say about you because you different, but not realizing that God needs that gift for the body of Christ. You are the answer to somebody's healing. You are the answer to somebody's deliverance, and you're sitting on it because of fear. Then some of us, we're sick in our bodies because of fear. When healing is the children's bread, it's our portion. Say, that's my portion. And by his stripes, we are healed. Instead of focusing on the diagnosis, okay to get a diagnosis. You need to know what's wrong. But the doctor does not determine your prognosis. Once you know what it is, you know how to pray. So we need to change our focus to the great physician who healeth, the Bible says, all of our diseases. The scripture says in 2 Timothy, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind, not a tormented mind, a sound mind. The voice of God must be louder than the voice of the enemy. What you listening to?
Yes. Yes.
As David told Goliath, this is the Lord's battle.
That's right.
And he will deliver us. Wait a minute. I got ahead of myself. I didn't give y'all the title, did I? Y'all forgive me here. I got excited with the word for me too, shoot. I'm just a messenger, but the word is for me too. Now I'm going to give you pause break. Y'all write this down here. The title is, he will deliver you out. And then draw a blank. That blank is for whatever you need to write in. David, he needed to be delivered out of the hand of that uncircumcised Philistine, out of that giant that's tormenting God's people. That's what David needed. What do you need? You write it in. All right, sorry. But somebody needs to know that promotion is coming. And greater is coming. Deliverance and restoration in relationships is coming. Healing is coming in our bodies. And elevation in ministry is coming. Setbacks because of fear are going to fall. Say with me, no more setbacks. God is releasing us to go. Go and conquer that thing that has been an obstacle in our lives. He said that he will be with us. And not only that, giants. Oh, yeah, they fall. You know, we used to say the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Now, the background of our story today centered around a battle between the Israelites and the Philistines. A king by the name of Saul, he was the people's king. They wanted a king when God wanted to be their king. And God gave them his permissive will. But let me tell you, you don't want God's permissive will. That means he just allows it. You want his divine will. So in the midst of a battle, the people's king is scared just like they are. And not only that, the people's choice has now been rejected by God for reigning over Israel. It's a terrible thing to be in leadership and God has rejected you. And you don't know what's going on. Because God is taking the anointing off of you. My. That's dangerous. In the previous chapter, and this is chapter 16, you can find the story where the prophet Samuel was commissioned to go to Bethlehem and anoint a new king from one of the sons of Jesse. And Samuel obeyed the word of the Lord, and to make a long story short, out of 8 sons, the youngest, the least likely, was chosen by God. And the Bible proclaims, now, this is what's interesting to me. And this is in 1 Samuel 16 and 13. The Bible proclaims that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And verse 14 says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. So at the very same time that God was anointing a new king, he was rejecting another. And guess what? Saul didn't even know. And then the Bible says that an evil spirit from the Lord troubled Saul.
Yes.
And that evil spirit troubled him so much that one of his servants said, man, you're troubled. We need to look for someone, a musician, because do you know music calms your spirit?
Yes, it does.
That's why you got to be careful what you listen to.
That's right.
But good music will calm your spirit. So, now listen, this is what I love. Y'all know I just love the word of God. I love it. It's some good, there's some storytelling in here, isn't it? But anyway, he had heard that there was a young lad in Bethlehem who played the harp. That young man was David. So David was sought after by an earthly king. But now listen at this, as well as a heavenly king. Can I tell you that the Bible is true when it states in Proverbs 18 and 16 that a man's gift maketh room for him and bringing him before great men. Now, David is a young lad, about 15 right now, and he has been brought in the presence of an earthly king. Out of all his brothers, God chose David, the shepherd boy, the one that took care of his father's sheep. Now, there's a double revelation there. Whenever David would play that harp for Saul, that evil spirit would go away. And David became Saul's right-hand man. And David would go back and forward between serving Saul and taking care of his father's sheep. Now, that kind of brings us, some time has passed, probably about 2 years or so. Now, that brings us to the actual scripture text. David arrived on the scene of the battle against the Philistines to bring food to his brethren. He was sent there by his father, Jesse, not even knowing that his heavenly father had an additional assignment for him. David heard the taunting of Goliath, a giant in the eyes of the people. And Goliath was challenging and defying the God of Israel. In fact, he said, listen here. And this is the scene. The Israelites on one side of the mountain, Philistines on the other side of the mountain. And in the midst of them was a valley. And Goliath, the Bible said he was a champion amongst the Philistines. And you can find that in 1 Samuel 17 and 4. He had the Israelites scared to death. Because every time they heard, the Bible said they were sore afraid. I mean, they were trembling in their bones. Saw the people's choice. Trembling. I'm just saying. Better be careful who you put over things. Better make sure it's God's choice and not our choice. Things won't go right when we choose a king. I'm just saying. Goliath taunted them for 40 days, mornings and nights. But David, when he came on the scene, He was like, who is it? Who's this uncircumcised Philistine? Uncircumcised meant that he was a stranger to God. He was not part of the covenant.
That's right. That's right.
And he's defying God's people, the God of Israel. So he began to talk to the men. The men began to talk. You know, Saul said, anybody to kill Goliath will get great riches. And then they're going to give him his daughter too. And then they're going to be free. His father's house is going to be free of taxes. David heard and he said, well, what y'all say? Going to get all that? So he inquired and asked again, and then listen at this. They told him, and then his brother heard. And Eliab, I'm going to give you some points in just a second of principles. Eliab came and rebuked David. So why are you here? Can I tell you there are folks that wonder why you're here? What business is this yours? You just came down here to see a fight. That's how some folk feel about you on the job. I don't know why you're laughing. In church too. Come on, say amen in here. Why are you here? And then he began to belittle David. Say, you just got a lot of pride in you. Now, remember, they watched David be anointed. So it was probably some sibling, what? Rivalry. A little what? Jealousy. You know, we're human now. Okay, I'm just saying. But nonetheless, David, God's chosen, wanted to take on Goliath. Saul heard about all of this, and he sent for David. And David began to make his case. And that's what we kind of pick up in verse 37. David making his case. But I'm going to tell you one thing. So if you want a point or a principle, refuse to listen to negative people. When God is leading you to do something, do not listen to people who tell you you can't do it. Do not listen to people who question you, who you are, or downplay your significance. Because they suck the energy right out of you. If you're around negative people, when you leave, you feel drained. You're going to go to sleep. Shoot. I'm just saying. But their words can become an echo in your ear. Because the mind does this even while you sleep. It'll rehearse things over and over again. David's own brother and Saul were negative towards him. And you know, David said, what have I done now? You ever feel like the one and you're like, what have I done now? Seems like you're always in trouble. But let me give you a message. The same people who fight against us don't know that we are the solution to their problem. And you need to remember that. The people who are fighting against you, they don't know your significance, but God does. So David has a meeting with Saul. Saul tell him, man, you just a youth. You can't handle this. Do you know Goliath is a trained soldier? He's a warrior. David just a little young lad. So David begins to testify. But you don't understand. David began to recall the things that God had already done. Man, God delivered me from the what? Lion? The bear? Y'all know the story. Point number two. Recall past victories. Whatever God has delivered you from before, he's able to deliver you from whatever you're going through now. In fact, he wants you to know that he specializes in things that seem impossible. Saul Said, look here, young lad. Shoot, you got enough faith for both of us. Go on, I'm gonna let you go. But before you go, I'm gonna put my armor on you. Point three, resist the temptation to use untested weapons. We cannot wear something that is not ordained for us. We have to wear our own armor, because what works for someone else may not work for us. And then too, you have to know who you riding with. Saul had been rejected by God. I ain't going to no war with his armor on. I get killed out here. Y'all better watch who you riding with. The Bible said David took Saul's stuff off. And he put his staff in his hand, because that's what he's familiar with. And he chose five smooth stones. And he put them in the shepherd's bag to go fight Goliath. When Goliath saw him, he began to make mockery of him. He said, and he made fun of him and cursed David by his guards. And he told him that he would give his flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. But this is what I like what David told him. You come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. When you go in against your enemy, come in the name of the Lord of hosts. Who is the name of the Lord of hosts? I'm talking about Jesus today. The God of the armies of Israel. Can I tell you that people have to be careful messing with God's people? Because God wants me to know, let you know that he takes care of his own. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. David told a giant, this day the Lord delivered thee in my hand. Can I tell you, you need to say, this day, that situation gonna turn around and I'm gonna have the better hand. You gotta speak to them giants and declare that this day the Lord is gonna deliver that thing in my hand. And I'm gonna smite thee and take thy head from off of thee, so that all the earth would know there is Calandra's God. You better say, you're my God. So when Goliath arose, David took one stone and smote him in the forehead. And the stone sank in his forehead. Now, and the Bible said he fell on his face. Now look, me being who I am, I'm a teacher, you know. I was puzzled because I could not understand why he fell on his face. Because I'm thinking now, remember he got all his armor on, he got a helmet on, and that stone hit him in the forehead and it stayed in there. And you would think he gonna go what? Backwards. But the Bible said that he went forward. But I remembered. David said that he came to this giant in the name of the Lord. And the scripture said every knee shall bow at the name of the Lord. Your enemy will bow at the name of the Lord. That devil don't bow down today. Then David, with his bad self, went over and stood over that devil. David didn't have no sword. He took the sword out the enemy's hand. That very thing that you come against with me, I take it out your hand. Now, why did he cut off his head? Can I tell you something? We got to cut off the very source of life from that thing that tries to intimidate us. Generational curses. Cut it off. In the name of the Lord of hosts, you will not touch my family no more. No more wedlock, pregnancy out of wedlock. No more. Cut it off. Cut it off. today, Hopewell, cut it off. Things contrary to the word of God. Toxic relationship, cut it off. Fear of any kind, cut it off. The truth of the matter, no matter what's going on in the world around us, God will deliver us out. Likewise, no matter what we face, God has already given his best. His name is Jesus. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, and worthy is the Lamb. His name is Jesus. I don't care what you're going through. Jesus is a giant slayer. Can I just tell a testimony? I have a cousin. Her name is Greta. And Greta's mother died before she was 40. And then her mother died before she was 40. And Greta, I didn't even know that Greta lived with a fear of dying before she reached the age of 40. But when she was in her late 20s, we were at a service. That's why you gotta be led by God. That's why you gotta stir the gift in you. There was a prophet who came to Greta. And he just said this here. The curse has been broken. You will live and not die. And you shall declare the works of the Lord. Greta's 43 today. Yes. Come on to say amen. As I close, I encourage you to speak to your situation today and say, in the name of the Lord of hosts, in the name of Jesus, I come against you. And that thing is going to fall down today. I pray that God keeps you. And that something was said in the preached word to help you along the way. Whatever you need God to do for you, he will, y'all, deliver.